During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talked to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. And there's a reason that I created and host this podcast. It's simply for you. I was in your shoes. And for those who don't know, I want to give you a little quick background as to how we got here and why we're here. In short, I'm a former sports entertainment publicist turned traditionally published author and now your podcast host. When I worked at the NBA, known as the National Basketball Association as well, I had a front row seat to all things spectacular in entertainment. I managed everything from red carpets to work in the playoffs, but somewhere in between, I started to wonder, what's next? After doing some serious personal development work and eventually quitting, I was determined to get my first manuscript traditionally published. With no prior experience, within 4 months, I had a deal in hand with Simon & Schuster to publish my debut book. After making a split decision, I drug all of my belongings down the stoop of my fourth floor building in Harlem for a stoop sale to help finance a one-way ticket to London. Exactly 11 months later, my first book, Preseason Love, was released nationwide, and I'd had the experience of a lifetime living in hostels in London, rooming with complete strangers in shady council housing flats, getting lost among the canals of Venice, and trying to avoid capture by the Royal Palace Guards in Morocco. That was the start of my journey to a drastically different life, my own switch, pivot, or quit. I hope this show serves as encouragement and inspiration for you, showing you what you can do when you block out the demands of who others think you should be and go for what truly feels good to you. As I mentioned, this podcast was created for you, so if you enjoy listening, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. That's what will help your girl out. You can also check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources, including the SPQ strategy sessions. Because as you know, and as you just heard, I know what it takes to get from where you are to where you want to be. And I can help you work through your ideas, blocks, and create plans. But for now, to best enjoy this audio experience and audio awesomeness, all you have to do is just sit back, open your mind, maybe grab your notebook, and just enjoy the show. On today's show, we're chatting with Devi Brown, an author, meditation teacher, veteran radio personality, and founder of Karma Bliss. Devi Brown, formerly Devi Dev, is a music industry influencer with a mission. She's a veteran hip-hop radio personality. Devi connects with listeners through stories of struggle and success and inspires them by sharing her passion for mindfulness and fulfillment. She's hosted shows for iHeartMedia, Radio 1, MTV, and SiriusXM. And she's also appeared on major media outlets like CNN and Good Morning America, among others, of course. Off the air, Devi is a Deepak Chopra certified meditation teacher. She's also a mentor, author of a new book, Crystal Bliss, which is an essential guide for using crystal healing in the modern world. And she's the founder of Karma Bliss, a company dedicated to self-discovery. Additionally, Devi's Karma Bliss Crystal Collection is now available in Nordstrom's Well Beauty department. It's the first crystal collection to ever be carried by the historic retailer. Get ready to get into all the mindfulness of this conversation that you are about to experience with Devi. Guaranteed goodness, so listen up. Super excited. Welcome to the show, Devi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for sharing your platform with me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as you know, this show is all about the Switch, Pivot, or Quit experience. So I want to start us off with you telling us a bit about your SPQ experience. And I know you're still sort of dabbling in both worlds, but yet you've gone from one career and you've successfully transitioned into a new career of sorts, or added it with your new book out. So tell us all about it.
Okay, so first, I love the name of your show, Switch, Pivot, or Quit, because that is like the nail on the head. I think for so many of us, you know, when you're in the midst of evolving and just trying to grow your purpose in whatever space you work in.
Right.
So for me, I mean, I had almost the past 14 years, roughly, working in some capacity in entertainment. Primarily, my background is working as a radio personality and also a TV host. I've also worn a ton of different hats within that space, production to voiceover talent to just a bunch of stuff. You know how entertainment is.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, for me, even though sometimes it can feel like I'm kind of in two different worlds, like working in entertainment or broadcasting, I should say, and then kind of now working in the wellness space with my business, Karma Bliss. I look at it more as like not something I have to choose. Like I have great skills in both at this point. So my biggest desire was not necessarily to transition out of one space and fully start this brand new world, but it was more along the lines of, how do I continue to evolve my life? You know, I love broadcasting, like connecting with listeners, connecting and communicating with people. It's so incredibly important to me. It's something that, you know, I earned my 10,000 hours in, as Malcolm Gladwell would say. You know, it's something that I've gotten a lot of expertise in, and I want to continue to grow in, but I also wanted to evolve it. Right. I was getting really bored with just talking about celebrity and entertainment and all that kind of come kind of in that territory right now. And I was like, how do I use my skill set and also continue to challenge myself as I grow as a woman, as I age, as I, you know, continue to build. So for me, like another big facet of my life was really mindfulness and wellness and meditation and self-discovery and finding tools to grow myself and sharing those tools. And you know, I just look to kind of blend the two worlds, and sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. But that was my biggest goal. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to quit everything that I'm doing. I see like the beauty in the things that I've accomplished.
Yep.
And now I'm just looking to grow it into other things that I'm also interested in.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, because I come from the entertainment world as well. And that's the thing. It's like, for me, I was doing sports entertainment PR, and I just felt like I was just like constantly pushing other people out there and just doing this, what started to feel like mundane work. And it was exciting to other people on the outside looking in, but there was a part of me that felt like, I'm capable of more. I want more. I need to know more. Like, I want to explore more. So that's a part of what I think a lot of people go through when they're just kind of like evolving and growing into, let's say, a better version of themselves. You're like, okay, this job and this work is cool, but like, what else is there? You know, I need to know what else is out there.
Yeah. And that's the exact phrase. It's the what else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the wordage that came up for me several years ago. It's like, okay, there's got to be more. What else?
Right.
What else?
Right. The same thing came up for me. Now, did you have to make any sacrifices when you sort of started operating or transitioning or entertaining the wellness space?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because you can't get anything new without sacrificing something.
Right.
But I think, you know, I kind of eased into it. For me, it was more about like when I was just fully focused before, like I launched Karma Bliss, when I was just fully focused on doing my radio show and doing entertainment projects. Mm-hmm. It was really like, how can I feel better about what I do every day?
Right.
How can I feel more challenged in what I'm currently doing? And how do I blend the other parts of my personality with it? For me, that meant kind of really going out of my way to talk less about stories that I thought were damaging to people. So like, if you work in radio, specifically if you work in like music driven hip hop radio on an FM station, like I did.
Right.
Part of the territory is it's really like sharing gossip. What's the tea? Who did what? you know? Yeah. And so for me, it was like, okay, how do I share more stories that I think have depth and can add to people's lives? And how do I make a conscious choice to not share stories that I think are either damaging to people or offer no value? So I started being a lot more picky about what I would express on air, because if I express something on air, I'm letting people know that I give it value and that I'm encouraging them to value it as well. So it was like, how do I pick and choose those things to, so that I could feel more responsible with the blue, you know, the imprint I was leaving, the footprint I was leaving in the world.
Right.
And then it led me to do, like, you know, maybe have segments on things that I felt helped people open up more or share more about, you know, I would be more cognizant of sharing my day-to-day life instead of just sharing like, oh yeah, last night I did this event, last night I did this party. I was also like, you know, hey, I woke up, I did my yoga this morning, what y'all doing? Showing more dimension to myself. And I think not only is that so important in kind of entertainment-driven world, but it's so important in Black and brown communities.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be this one-note thing. We are all multi-layered. We're all multifaceted. We have many different things that have compiled to make us who we are in many different interests.
Right.
So we don't just have to share the things that are on trend. We don't just have to share the things that are, you know, popular or, you know, we hope we'll get more likes. It's like we can share other facets of who we are and see how people resonate with it. So really, the transition started with me being very conscious about that. And then when it came time to like launch Karma Bliss, you know, we had like a launch that kind of led me instantly into like other really cool projects, like being able to write this book. And I had at that point, I had to make a choice. I had to say, okay, where do you really want to be based out of right now? How much time do you have? Because I, you know, I was music director at my radio station. I was a radio personality. I'm also, you know, married and you got family that you're juggling. And then I was like fulfilling orders for 10 hours every day. And I was like, I can't keep doing this.
Right. This is a lot.
Yeah. Like, I can't keep this up.
Yeah.
So then I kind of had to say, what is my ultimate goal? Well, my ultimate goal is really to build a brand that helps people. It's to share myself in a way that's very authentic, that gives people permission to explore themselves. And then in turn, guide other people, you know, that come across. And so if my long-term goal is that, can I make the choice to step away from what I'm currently doing right now to grow that goal? And so that's kind of what I decided to do, which, you know, it's been working out well for me, but it's definitely a sacrifice because it's change and change is hard.
Right.
You know,
right.
I've been doing one thing for my entire adult life since I was 18 years old, my entire adult life. I've been wrapped up in achieving in one kind of way. So even though I felt good about my decision, you still have your kind of off days where you're like, oh God, what did I do?
Yeah.
Or, oh, it would have been so much easier if I just did this. Or I kind of miss you in that because I'm not necessarily utilizing my broadcasting chops every day right now. And so I kind of miss it. But my ultimate goal is to kind of to surpass anything I've accomplished so far. And so I just kind of keep that in perspective. So definitely it's a sacrifice. But in my long-term goal, I think the payoff is going to be a lot higher than what I'm actually sacrificing right now.
Right, right. That makes sense. And I love the way that you say that you would incorporate just the things that you were doing, like yoga, meditation, and stuff like that, into the conversation of this space that it probably wasn't so familiar in. And you're a certified meditation teacher. Is that right?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That, I decided to do in the last couple of years because I found, you know, for me, like the big breakthrough for me came when I went on my first meditation retreat. And I did like this thing that's called a 10-day Panchakarma. And I did it through Deepak Chopra's Chopra Center. And it was like a full detox of like mind, body, and soul. And it's where I learned to meditate. And when I learned to meditate, it just opened up so much new dimension to my life. And I kind of, you know, I decided not only do I want to deepen my own meditation journey and my knowledge of that space, but I want to have more tools to be able to teach people that are asking me questions. Because when you kind of first start making these changes in your life, like, it's very interesting to people. And then some people are really drawn to this new light that you're cultivating and they have questions.
Right.
And, you know, I'm giving them the best answers I can. But then I said, you know, if my role and responsibility in this moment is to really kind of step into more of a teacher stance, more of a guide mm-hmm. for people, then let me really verse myself on this so I can do the most good.
Right.
So I decided to join Deepak's. Deepak Chopra has different teaching credentials that he offers through his Chopra University. Mm. And so I signed up. It was a year-long program. It was tough. It was really tough. And it was another thing that I was juggling.
Right.
So I'm trying to, you know, make all these pieces fit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I got certified almost 2 years ago to teach primordial sound meditation. And it just further deepened my own commitment to myself on a personal level. Mm. I feel like even for anybody listening, even if you don't plan to say change your career or drop everything and become fully about whatever it is you're interested in, take these courses, get these certifications, do these things in your free time, because even if you don't use it per se mm-hmm. to start a new career, it grows you in a way that you can't fully imagine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I so agree with that. Before I even started getting into like personal development and really understanding like what it looked like and everything, I just went off of my intuition. And when I was feeling like stuck and unfulfilled in my day job, I started taking all types of classes and stuff in things that I thought I would be interested in, or that maybe I was like, okay, this sounds kind of cool, so maybe I'll just try it out. And like you said, if nothing else, it exposes you to things. It grows you as a person. Like, I took an acting class, and for a minute I was like, oh, I want to be an actress now. You know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. But why not? Because you don't know. You mm-hmm. could be walking down the street tomorrow, girl, mm-hmm. and someone walks up to you and says, you have exactly what I need for my movie.
Right.
You know, and now you're a little more prepared for that.
Exactly. Exactly. So if someone were to entertain the idea of starting meditation and they're completely novice and it's foreign to them, is there anything that you would suggest that they sort of start with, whether it be mindset, action, activity, atmosphere? I don't know. Is there anything that you would suggest to sort of get them started?
Yeah. Number one, get out of your head. The biggest thing that we all tell ourselves, which is a complete lie, is that we think too much, we're too busy, mm-hmm. And there's no way that we're going to be able to sit still that long. And it's like, okay, hush up, sit down.
Yeah.
If all of us probably these days, at least, start mm-hmm. our day with a scroll, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether you are still in the bed or you're using the restroom, you are quickly trying to ingest whatever happened on Instagram since you fell asleep.
Right.
If we can do that, why is it that we imagine that just sitting still and being quiet is so excruciatingly hard? So I think like the number one thing to being able to start a meditation journey is to just get out of your own way and get out of your head. We overthink it, mm-hmm. but of course you're going to think thoughts as you're meditating. You're a living human being.
Yeah.
Between 3,000 and 6,000 thoughts a day, every day.
Right.
So yeah, in my meditation, I think thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm not just like floating in this empty space. Mm. But the more you do it, the more your mind and your soul kind of expands to that opportunity.
Right.
And you find that you will have brief moments in that space of 20 minutes where you are able to unlock different pieces of you, where you are able to be completely present.
Right.
And even if it's a millisecond, that millisecond in 20 minutes is worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, so we kind of have to stop. I think especially now in this day and age, we're so oversaturated and stimulated all the time.
Right.
That we get so frightened of time with ourselves. We get so frightened of silence.
I was going to ask you that. Like, do you think that a part of people's, I guess you could say trouble, hesitation, whatever, with meditation initially might be like that sort of like fear of being alone with your own thoughts? Because sometimes, it's crazy for us to think like, what will I be thinking of? But I also like that you said, it's okay to think thoughts while you're meditating. Because sometimes that stops us because we're like, I'm thinking too much. I'm not meditating right.
The trick really is when a thought comes up for you, you make a conscious choice to stop thinking it. So it's not that thoughts are going to come up. And I'm not encouraging you to sit down and overanalyze. I'm encouraging you to, when a thought comes up, take the pressure off yourself and just say, I'm making a conscious choice to stop thinking this thought right now.
Right.
And when you start doing that with every thought that comes up, even the good ones, and that's the thing, it's not just that bad thoughts are going to come up. Sometimes super empowering, thoughts are going to come up. Well, don't think those either. The point is to just be present and silent and let God, let the universe fill you with what he needs you to have in that moment. Mm. So it's kind of like if you've ever had a time where you're at work or you just have too much going on and something takes over your mind and you tell yourself like, girl, you're not going to think about this right now. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you can shut that thought off for yourself and save it for a different time.
Right.
You're doing that exact same technique just in rapid fire motion while you're meditating.
Okay. That makes sense. And I feel like meditation is along the lines of personal care. And I wanted to find out from you, do you have like a personal care routine or any personal care indulgences that you might partake in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me, like meditation is a non-negotiable.
Mm.
And even if I'm too busy, I try to find, or even not even too busy, to be honest, sometimes I'm just not feeling it.
So yeah,
if that's the case, I try to cultivate moments of silence in my everyday, no matter what. Mm-hmm. So if that means that I know I have a 45-minute drive in traffic, I might just drive in complete silence.
Mm.
Turn the radio off and just be present in the traffic and looking at the road.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, if I'm not like telling myself, oh, sit down and watch the show, I don't have noise on in the house.
Yeah.
It's funny, one of my girlfriends had come over once and she like, you know, because she's like, this is her own perception and her own level of consciousness, but my house was like dead silent and I was enjoying myself that day.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh girl, are you okay? I mean, do you need to have like people come over? Like if you need a friend. And I was like, girl, my day is amazing. I'm just being quiet. Like, okay to just, I don't have to have something distracting me all the time, or I don't have to have every moment filled with another noise.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it's okay to just spend time with yourself.
Right. That makes me think of just being intentional about your experiences that you have in the moments in your life and everything like that. And I want to ask you about decisiveness with relation to success. Because I feel like you're a successful woman and you have tapped into your wellness and all these different areas. You've tapped into your shine as well, let's call it, because you know you've done amazing things in the entertainment space. So do you think that there's, what are your thoughts on like decisiveness and deciding who you are, who you want to be, or whatever that means to you, decisiveness, and the relation to success and, you know, how you sort of put those two things together. Is there a correlation for you?
You know what? I might change the words a little bit.
Okay.
Because something that I've started doing that for me has like, I mean, just paid off in a huge way is staying open to what God, what the universe has planned for me and not trying to control everything. And I think sometimes when we are, you know, we're so trained to think in super grind and in career mode these days. And I was one of those people. Like I was one of those highly stressed out people that was like grind, goals. You know, always having like a very specific vision board and always having like, you know, my plans like laid out.
Yeah.
And they're great plans and they're great vision, but it may not allow room for what is actually intended for my destiny if I try to take over in that way. So I think instead of decisiveness, I would change that word to deliberate. I'm very deliberate in everything that I do. I make a conscious choice every day to show up for myself in however I'm able to that day. Mm. So like I'm committed to giving my life, myself, my best effort, but I leave room for interpretation. Okay. So I stay open to things that I may not have thought of. I'm not fully committed to every decision. So for instance, if you've ever had a goal in mind before, career-wise, maybe like for a promotion or for something else, mm-hmm. you have tunnel vision and you set your sights on it, and every decision you make in your day is applied to making that thing happen, right?
Right.
And you may get it, but it still may not have been for you. So for me, I'm more so trying to be very deliberate about every decision having impact and having purpose, but I'm not necessarily looking at a singular goal, like a title or like something very specific, like I want to get X amount of dollars or get such and such of this. Mm-hmm. I'm leaving some room for interpretation there. So I think I would just say yes, like being deliberate in the actions of your day, the thoughts of your life, applying it to your career of being great is super important. But what's even more important is creating space for like energetic flow in your life and really saving space for blessings to come to you that you don't even have the ability to fathom yet. That right. you can't think of.
I love that. I love that. So what do you value now? When they say like, you know, oh, your values and what do you value? And like, what do you value now? What do you hold in high regard now?
Oh gosh. My peace. Like my peace is like really non-negotiable. It's so important to me. I just really value myself. A lot. I'm really important to me. And I'm not trying to say that in like a selfish way or like, you know, egomaniacal kind of way, but I just mean that like I try to always save space for me. And save space to be very real with myself. That doesn't mean every day I'm showing up butterflies and puppies and I'm an amazing goddess, right? Like I'm a human.
Yeah.
So I'm also deeply flawed. Mm-hmm. But it's like making the conscious choice to love my flaws too, because they're a part of me and they are accumulation of my life experiences to this point.
So I
think in how I treat myself, in the relationships I have in my life, in the experiences I try to cultivate, I try to just apply a lot more compassion, kindness, and opportunity to learn and everything. So those are things that are really important to me, just like a continuation of the journey of learning in every moment and applying compassion and kindness.
Love it. So when you do encounter those challenging days that make you sort of like think, what the heck am I doing? Or just kind of struggle to like pull it together and just balance it all and keep moving forward. What are some of the things that you find yourself doing to sort of keep yourself going, whether it be doing, thinking, saying, whatever it is, how do you sort of like cope and manage to keep going?
You know, there's no, and I don't want to overly simplify and I don't want to disappoint with this answer, but there's no real life hacks for that. It's about a daily practice.
Yeah.
So for me at this stage that I'm in kind of in my life and in my womanhood, to be quite honest with you, those days are so rare. I can't even remember the last one because I'm in such like harmony with myself and my world. Now that's not to say my life is super easy or perfect, because it isn't.
Right.
But my reactions to things that I used to deem as uncomfortable are not the same. So I'm not kind of necessarily interpreting the things that happen as things that can get me off balance, even if they are challenges. But that 100% comes from just every day choosing to get up and give my life my best effort. It's doing things in every moment that can aid that, like my meditation, like self-inquiry, like asking myself questions about myself. And just by doing that over time, the rest of it comes so easy. But it's not just about like one thing you can do every time something bad happens. It's what are you doing every day? Mm-hmm. How are you treating yourself every day?
Mm-hmm. I love that answer, because it seems to me like you're saying it's more so just preparing yourself mentally, just for life period and how you want to be and how you want to show up, so that when these moments do show up, you can, you have a better arsenal to deal with them, and you're not like scrambling trying to think like, okay, what can I do to make myself feel better, to be able to sort of like deal with the madness that's happening or whatever. I love that. So it's just being prepared so that
and the best preparation is on your good days. Prepare yourself. Don't take the day off because life is running smooth.
Right, because
life is falling into place. Don't say, oh, you know what, I don't really need to do this self-care stuff no more. You are like, you're getting ready for battle in your good moments.
Yeah, that's true. So what's been the, this is obviously valuable to me, valuable advice and insight, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take this to heart and really like use this. What's been some of the most useful pieces of advice, or one piece of advice that you've received thus far in your career?
You know, something that kind of was said to me in a little different way, so I'm going to kind of remix it a little bit.
Okay.
Something that was said to me like in my intern days is something that like I really try to stress to the women that are younger than me coming up under me, which is stay open to the things that you don't know yet. I think, especially in this day and age of quote unquote experts.
Right.
And also in this day and age of presentation, where we don't want to show the steps to how we got there. We just want to have arrived already. It's easy to be so committed to what we think we know and why we think we're so much better than somebody else at something, or why we think we have, you know, why we think we have the right to like not listen to people. You know, and I just can't stress enough, like stay open to the things that you don't know, because that's for everybody. The 90-year-old woman who ran a company for 70 years, there's things she does not know.
Right.
And, but if you're humble and you stay open to it, you can get everything you need done.
Yeah.
And I think that's not what's really happening right now a lot of the time, because again, it's this day and age of experts, this day and age of presentation, this desire to prove yourself, this desire to show that you are above the starting point. And you're just missing out on so much.
Yeah.
Not just career, but like life. Like you're missing your journey because you're trying so hard to show that you know everything.
Oh, I think that you just hit the nail on the head with that when you preached a word, because you're right, especially because we are able to have what feels like a front row seat to so many people's journeys now with social media or through social media, that we feel like we see all of their journey when we all know that that's not the truth. You know, we only see what people want us to see. But then at the same time, we also see where we feel like they've reached this, you know, high point or this success. And then we think, well, if I'm not there as well, then I'm not doing anything, or my work is not valued.
And how did that happen in us? Like, how did we all of a sudden have this fear of earning our stripes, this fear of being new at something, you know? Yeah. Like when I think of like when I started interning in radio, right? I was so proud to be an intern. I thought it was the coolest thing that had happened to me. And I would, you know, I used to be like, yes, I'm an intern at this radio station. And that's amazing. Like it's showing that I'm showing up for myself and I'm learning and I'm growing. And now, you know, I might have an intern in radio who it's her first week and her bio has already been switched to radio personality. And I'm not against the fake it till you make it, but why are you ashamed that you are, that your journey is currently in the process of learning? You know,
It's okay to just start. Yeah.
And to not be an expert yet and to not have everything yet, especially for everybody that is 30 and under, you know, definitely 25 and under. Like, you're so ashamed of someone finding out that you're not an expert at something or you don't have it all together. what do you think this point in time in your life is for?
Yeah, it's for exploration. It's for growth. It's for understanding. Yes. All of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so funny too, because I observe a lot of what goes on, and I just watch people and I watch how they move and things like that. And then there's some people that I'll say to myself, like, okay, it's interesting how you're moving. Let me go do a bit of digging and check out a little bit more about you. And like, I don't say this to be cocky, but it's like, if somebody wanted to actually look me up, or if they said, hey, Ayana, you know, can you send me your resume? I can send you my resume with receipts. You know, I can send you to people who have worked with me and who can vouch for me. But it's like, when you're 23, 24, 25 on social media telling me you're an expert at something that I know good and damn well you just got out of college, I'm like, but who is this believable to? Like, and also, what does that say about us, that there's probably somebody buying into what you're doing? And like you said, I am not against faking it until you make it, or trying to, you know, project and manifest yourself to be in a certain situation, all that. Cheers to that. But at the same time, you got to be realistic and know what you don't know, or learn what you don't know, and be open to it as well. And that, I think that's hard for a lot of people to get their minds around now. I don't know why. But we all want to be, you know, further along than we are, I guess. I don't know. So what types of things do you do to actively expand your comfort zone? You know, we all have this comfort zone, and sometimes it can hold us back even too. What do you do, or what do you find yourself doing to sort of expand your comfort zone? Because I know this wellness space, this wasn't the space that you were always operating in. So when you went into it, like, what are some of the things that you found yourself having to do to kind of say, okay, this is not my comfort zone, but I can get into it?
You know, and again, girl, I don't want to oversimplify.
Mm-hmm. It's fine. That's probably better.
That's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of what I committed myself to, mm-hmm. when I was, you know, just kind of a young woman going after things, was to always seek uncomfortable things. Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I'm not in a space where I feel like I have to like hype myself up to do something, yeah. or where I have to like really like mentally dive into like the thought of being uncomfortable. My whole life has been uncomfortable, you know, and I'm not trying to say like, oh, I've had such a problematic life. I've lived a great life. I've had challenges just like everybody has. We all have our shit. But I have a vast understanding that life is meant to be lived uncomfortably. Mm. And I don't believe in this quote unquote, like for instance, when people in the Christian faith think of going to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. You think how perfect heaven will be, how beautiful, how you'll be reunited with everyone you've ever loved, mm-hmm. how you will be so blissful, have everything you've ever wanted. So if that's how you think the afterlife is going to be, why do you think life should be that way too? Mm. Why do we think life should be so comfortable, where all our needs are always met, or where we're never challenged, or where we are never in pain? Mm. You know, here's where you get the lessons. Here's where you earn your heaven.
Yeah.
So for me, kind of, I realized that life is meant to be lived uncomfortably, and I have peace about that. I'm down for whatever life has in store for me, and I don't have any expectations of if I'm going to be made to be comfortable or not. Mm. So for me, every day is like that. Mm-hmm. Every choice I make, I'm not really concerned about whether I'm going to be understood or made to feel comfortable, or things are going to go my way.
Yeah.
So when I feel so led to do something, or to learn something new, or to put myself out there, or to evolve my career, like with a new business in the wellness space, mm-hmm. I just dive in.
Yeah.
And what I don't know, I'll catch up and I'll learn, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I love that. Cause that's one of those other good things. It's like, if you just make it a practice regularly, then you don't have to think about it so much. I love that. Yeah. What would you say to someone that's dealing with trying to find their happy?
Don't run from pain.
Mm.
don't run from pain, because the only way to true happy, lasting mm-hmm. happy, lasting peace mm-hmm. is to run through your pain, not away from it. Mm-hmm. So if there's discomfort, if there's things that have challenged you that you're working through, if there's things that, you know, if you've had traumas that feel harmful, it's tough, but try as best you can to dive into them, to understand them, to make peace with them. Mm-hmm. And that is the only way you can have true happy, because nothing else will do it for you. No matter if you end up getting a lot of money, or you end up having a really cool job, or you have a man or a car, or any of these things that are expressed as happiness in society, mm-hmm. You will never, ever feel true peace or happiness just by accumulating things like that.
Right.
True happiness only comes from 100% how you feel about yourself, regardless of what is happening in your world and regardless of what other people think of you. And the only way to get there is to fall in love with the broken parts of yourself, fall in love with the flawed parts of yourself, celebrate the great parts of yourself, and be grateful for the life you're living, whatever it looks like.
So true. So true. So with your new book, Crystal Bliss, you talk obviously all about crystals and things of that nature. So what if people, obviously wellness as well. So if people are unfamiliar with the use of crystals, can you tell us how someone can use crystals to maybe impact their life, change their life, whatever? Because I know there's a lot of different crystals for a lot of different things, but maybe just give us, like, let's say, the 101 intro as to why someone might want to use crystals for change. And that's if, because a lot of our listeners are looking to make a switch, pivot, or quit. And there's a lot of people who are probably not so familiar with using crystals. They're hearing me right now and they're saying, what are you talking about? Like, what is a crystal? Like, what are we really talking about here? So just to kind of give them some context as to how it can sort of make an impact for them.
Well, get my book, number one.
Hello.
My book is called Crystal Bliss. And I mean, I give so much information in the book, mm-hmm. not just about specific crystals for specific uses, like career, like love, like emotional healing, but also some great, like, historic references on crystals, scientific references on crystals. I think the best thing I can kind of share at the base level of it is crystals are conduits of energy. They are scientifically proven to emit frequencies. And when working with our own energy and our own frequencies, they can become in tune with us and really help amplify some of our deepest desires. There's a bunch of different crystals with a bunch of different uses.
Right.
And the one you pick or the one you choose to work with, like I love to meditate with them, will just help kind of create a very symbiotic relationship with you and your energy for you to have really just added, amplified benefits in your life. Bringing things to you that are meant for you, helping you work through things that you need to work through, and amplifying joy and peace and your deepest desires and your drive and your personal will.
Wow. Well, I'm a novice to the crystal space, as I was mentioning to you before we began the interview, and I have your book. Thank you so much for sending me a copy. And I definitely can say it's a beautiful book. And if you're thinking like, oh, I'm intimidated, I don't know what this will be like getting into this crystal space, if you're going to approach it, I think Debbie's book is the perfect one to get started with, because it's so approachable. It's so Pinterest worthy. So you should definitely start there. Yeah. So my final last question would be, what does success mean or look like for you?
Such a great question. For me, the answer is always evolving. You know, because when I think of what success used to look like to me, it's very different than what I view right now. And I'm sure it will change even further in the years to come. But I would say for me, success looks like feeling really good about myself, feeling really good about my life and who I'm being in the world, and being of service to other people. Mm-hmm. I think there is no success, no true success, unless you're also being of service to other people. Right. Yeah. So I think, like, for me, showing up for myself in the best way possible allows me to show up for the people in my life and build great relationships. It mm-hmm. allows me to grow in whatever it is I'm currently interested in, which hopefully will turn into mm-hmm. money mm-hmm. to live and, right. and all those things that come with that.
Right.
And turn into, like, interesting life experiences and opportunities. And then remembering to complete that circle by being of service to other people.
Absolutely. Woohoo! Perfect way to wrap this up. Thank you so much for sharing all of your insight and wisdom with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you've enjoyed this episode or found value in this episode or any previous episode for that matter, I have a challenge for you. It's about taking action, and we all know how I feel about action and taking action. We can't just be observers all the time. We have to be the action takers and the makers as well. So my challenge to you is to do one of two things. The first is to share this podcast with 3 friends within an hour. Quick, 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 move, within an hour. If you know of 3 people that can benefit from hearing something you've heard on this podcast, then share. It's simple. And the other option is to pop over to iTunes and leave your girl a review. Just a quick line or two with your true feelings. So many of you email or message me and DM me, but we need the world to know about how you feel about this show if we want this conversation to continue and grow and incorporate some of your faves. So I appreciate you and thank you in advance for taking action. And until next time, keep killing it.